Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be here with you today. I am going to share the pulpit this morning with my brother Misha Nazaruk from Ukraine. He's going to share with us for a few minutes, and then I will share after that. So, Misha, if you would come up, and we could all stand for a prayer together. Father in heaven, we just thank you, God, that you have called us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. And Lord, I just thank you that you want to speak to our hearts today. And I ask you, Lord, to bless Brother Misha as he shares what you have laid on his heart for a time here, Lord. And Lord, would you just anoint this time as your servants preach your word, put your words on our tongues, O Lord. And Lord, may you speak deeply to all of our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Bless you.
I would like to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus with words of Jesus after the resurrection. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. I was wondering if some of you have ever counted how many sermons were preached from this pulpit for you. That's why I think what else can be spoken to such holy audience as Charity Fellowship. I would like to read the passage from the Bible, from the Old Testament. I would like to ask Brother John to help me with reading, because for better understanding, you know, for the better result, that you can understand better the message I am going to share with you. So, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, 24, and 25. Can you read, Brother John?
And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head! Go up, thou bald head! And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria.
I would like to speak this morning about Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. That's the meaning of this place, of this name. And when we look at the Bible, we can see the first time the Abraham came to this place and he set the altar there and gave the sacrifice for the Lord. Later on we met Jacob. On this place he had a dream. Do you remember his trip to Laban? And actually he called this place Bethel, because in his dream he saw the stairs to heaven from earth, and the angels of the Lord were coming up and down, and the Lord was standing up there. And then he was very afraid of this to see, and he said, I didn't know the God is here also. And he called this place Bethel, the house of God. Later on we see that the Ark of Covenant was sometimes in Bethel. Also the prophet Samuel was living in Bethel, and he was judging Israel. So people who lived there, they knew the will of God. But happened, something terrible happened with this place. John, can you read the 1 Kings chapter 12 and from verse 26 and further on? That's what happened with Bethel.
1 Kings 12, 26 through 32. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made.
So what happened? The center of worshiping God, living God, became the center of idolatry. He was afraid that people will go worship God in Jerusalem. That's why we read he made the golden calf and said, "This is your God." And people who knew real God started to worship the idol. And it's terrible. And to this place, the prophet Elisha was coming. That's the beginning. At the beginning, we read this passage. He was going to Bethel. You know, in old times, when the prophet of God was coming to any place, it was a special event. John, could you read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4?
And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?"
So, when people in any village or town, they heard the prophet of God is coming, they were trembling, we read. They were expecting what God is going to tell them. They asked Samuel, "Are you coming with peace?" He said, "Yes, I am." So, they were fine. But it was the special occasion when people heard this prophet of God is coming. And Elisha was going to Bethel, the prophet of God. But times changed, you know. And we read that little children came up from the town and started to mock at the holy man. You know, children often repeat what parents say. And sometimes, maybe it happens with you, when our children can say something, when we have some visitors or guests at home, and children start to say something, and you didn't expect they are going to tell what was spoken in secret by your table in the kitchen. Sometimes children express what the real situation is at home. So what happened to Bethel? It happened that from this place there was only name, house of God, Bethel, nothing else. There was no God there anymore. Only name, Bethel, house of God. And the tragedy, what happened with these 42 children, the reason for this was mocking at holy men. You know, it was a big lesson for Bethel. Can you imagine, in Bethel, there were 42 funerals in one day. Do you remember in your village or city something like this? 42 funerals in one day. So many tears and sorrows. But it was the payment for backsliding. What lessons we can take from this story? And I would like to say, children who are present here, dear children, never follow for majority to do something evil. Sometimes you can meet friends and they say, "Oh, let's go do this or that," to do something bad. Children, never follow them to do something evil. Also, from this story, we can take a lesson that children who grew up in Christian homes, they also need repentance. They also need personal meeting with Jesus Christ. So, young people, teenagers, never mock at holy things. Never. You know, nowadays we can see that young generation, they can make jokes about the Bible and some holy things. It's not possible. This story teaches us that it's not possible. It's very dangerous to do this. And Bible says, what we sow, we reap. If we sow blessing, we will reap blessing. If we sow curse, we will reap curse. That's why the question is for us of the Christians of the last days. Who are we today? Once Jesus was speaking about the salt which lost its power, lost its saltiness, and now it cannot be used for anything. It just can be thrown away, the Bible says. And Jesus warned us not to be like that, not to become like that. And Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, could you read, John? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?
So Apostle Paul, in advice for the church in Corinth, examine yourself. Test yourself, in other words. Who are you? Who are you? I remember a story my father told once about one little boy. He was selling little pies at the railway station. The trains, they stopped at the railway station, and a few minutes there was a stop, and passengers could go out just walking freely a few minutes. And one little boy was going from one to one selling pies, and he was saying, warm pies, buy it. And people were buying these pies. But when they tasted it, they were cold. And one of the passengers followed that guy and caught him and said, why are you lying? Why are you saying it's warm, but it's cold? He said, sir, I am not lying. They are cold like this. Warm pies. They are cold. That's the name of these pies. Warm pies. I'm not lying anymore. That's why God knocks the door to one of the churches in the book of Revelation, and he says, test yourself. Who are you? You think you are rich, you can see, but I tell you real situation who you are. That's the word of God for the church nowadays. So dear brothers and sisters, God calls us today to check ourselves, who we are. Because to be called Christians and to be Christian, it's a big difference. So I wish for myself and for all of you to be real children of God. Amen.
Thank you very much, Misha, for sharing the Word of God. You have set the platform, I guess I would say, for what God has given me also to share. So God bless you, and please, we give our greetings, take our greetings back to your congregation when you go back. Let's just stand here together again before I go on here. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought. Step preside, the light of truth to us display, and make us know, and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart that we from God. That we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness, the road which we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from
his pasture stray, nor let us from his pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy forever there.
Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message I have to share today is Behind the Closed Door. Behind the Closed Door. I'm surprised again and again how easy it is for me to be distracted away from sitting at Jesus' feet. And you know, in these evil days, as the spirit of Antichrist is sweeping across our land in particular and across the world, it is imperative that God's people are all in. I want to begin with a Bible story also from the Old Testament. You remember Abraham and his nephew Lot. And in 2 Peter, I believe it is, or 1 Peter, forget which one, but Peter talks about this story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says about a holy God who turned Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. But he delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That righteous man's soul was vexed every day with the wickedness of the people he lived with. So in Genesis 13, we see Abraham and Lot, and both of their businesses, their herds were growing, and each of them had many herdsmen. And they were beginning to run out of room, and Abram's herdsmen were quarreling with Lot's herdsmen. Abram came to Lot one day and he said, "You know, Lot, we are brethren. It is not good that our herdsmen are at odds with each other. Let's choose a place to go. Let's spread out a bit. And I'll tell you, Lot, you choose first the land that you want to reside in, and then I'll take what's left." And so Lot looked to the east. He looked over the well-watered plains of Jordan, wherein were also the cities of the plain. And he decided that that would be a good place to move to. So Lot moved his family, his herdsmen, his things to the plains of Jordan. And there he put up his tent. And he turned his tent towards Sodom. I'm going to go now to Genesis 19. Two angels came to Sodom one evening, and Lot was there sitting at the gate. And when Lot saw these two angels, he rose up and he bowed his head to the ground. And he said to them, "Behold, my lords, I ask you to come with me home, and you can wash your feet and rest, and then early in the morning you can go again on your way." But the angels said, "No, we're going to tarry in the street all night." But Lot pressed them and urged them, and finally they decided to go along to Lot's house. They went into Lot's home, and he prepared a feast for them. He baked for them unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down to rest, the men of Sodom, both old men and young men, from every part of the city, came to Lot's house, and they surrounded the house, and they called out to Lot and said, "Where are those men that came to you today, Send them out to us so that we can have sexual relations with them. Lot came to the door. He went outside the door and closed the door behind him. And he said, "Don't do so wickedly, my brethren. Behold, I have two daughters who are yet virgins. I'll send them out to you for the night, and you do with them whatsoever you want to do. But please do not do anything to these men, because they came, they are visitors, and they are under my roof." But the men said, "Stand back. Who are you? You just came in to live here among us. Who are you to judge us and tell us what we should do or what we should not do?" And they pressed hard against Lot and pushed up against the door and almost broke the door down. The angels that were inside opened the door. They pulled Lot inside and they shut the door, and they smote the men outside with blindness so that they struggled to find the door. They got disoriented and did not know where they were at. The angel said to Lot, "Is there any more of your family here in this city? We have come because the evil of this city has come up before the Lord, and we are come to destroy this city. Do you have any other family here?" So Lot left his house and he went to his sons-in-law's place. And he said to his son-in-laws, he said, "Get up, get your things together. Come, the Lord is about to destroy this city." But he just seemed as one who was mocking to his sons-in-law. So he went back, and they slept that night. Early the next morning, the angels got Lot up, and they said, "Hurry, get you and your two daughters here at home and your wife together. It is time to leave the city." But Lot lingered. And as he lingered, the angels grabbed his hand and the hands of his two daughters and the hand of his wife and pulled them out of the city and set them out in the plains. And the angel said to Lot, "Hurry, make haste, run for the mountains so that you're not destroyed." And Lot said, "Not so. I know that you have given me much grace, and the mercy of the Lord has been very great to me so that I can yet live. But please don't make me run to the mountains. Some evil might befall me there and I lose my life. Over there is just a little city. Let me go to that city and my soul shall live." And the angel said, "See, I have also given you this request. You may go to the little city. You may go to that city over there, but hurry up. The Lord is about to destroy these cities, and do not look back." And so the sun was already risen in the sky when Lot and his family entered the little city of Zoar. And the Lord rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the little cities round about and totally destroyed them. But Lot's wife, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. I just want to make a few observations, four general observations first about God. There'd be many you could take, I'm sure, from this passage, but four that stood out to me. Number one, our God is a just God. He will judge sin. Number two, God is incredibly merciful. The psalmist said, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those that fear Him." Number three, at times, for sure, God will allow man to have his own way. And number four, God will honor and bless righteous men. It is very difficult to see any righteousness in this passage. Peter said that Lot was a righteous man. But behind this whole story stood another righteous man. His name was Abram. God will honor and bless righteous men. And now four observations about Lot. And I'm sure you could think of many more. Number one, Lot was a righteous man. Number two, Lot had a tormented soul. Lot had a tormented soul. Number three, he was a man with very little or no authority. He had lost the ear and the honor of his sons and daughters. In fact, his neighbors did not even respect him. And number four, Lot was a man who lingered. It just seemed too much work. It seemed too radical to leave the comfort, to leave his stuff, to leave his family, his identity, to go to the mountain. Even in the face of impending doom, even at the command of an angel, from an angel from heaven, even in the presence of all this debauchery around him, Lot lingered. He lingered. He paused. He debated. I want to leave this story for just a little bit, and I want to take you to some words of Jesus. Listen to these words. I just took a couple passages here, and I'll be reading some of them here out of the NLT. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus went through the towns and the villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on towards Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He replied, "Work hard to enter in the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Lord, open the door for us.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'But we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' And he will reply, 'I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. And people will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. But note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then. And some who are the greatest now will be the least important then.'" Another passage. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost, to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he cannot, He will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So, you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. So my question to us all today is, to what measures will we go to find the treasure? You know, it's very easy to speak Jesus' name. It's very easy to say we love God. It is easy to do nice things for people in Jesus' name. But Jesus says here, it will be difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not just slide in. You need to work, strive, sit down first, and decide if you are willing to do what it takes. Count the costs, sell everything, give everything up in order to buy that field. Jesus said, only a few will do it. Only a few will find it. Only a few will love Him with all their heart. Only few will actually know Him. In the last day, there will be only a few who He knows. And so bringing that together with this story of Lot, I want to try and pull this thing together now. So many today are tormented with fears. They are confused and gripped with sinful addictions. So many today lack spiritual authority. They are powerless with so very little joy, and yet they linger, hoping, hoping, hoping to find an answer. Hoping an answer finds them. And so while they linger, they try to take a drink from the Lord's cup, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10, and also take a sip from the cup of devils. They proclaim God's name and proclaim how good He is, and then they take a drink from the cup of demons. They eat at the devil's table and they provoke God to jealousy. And so I was thinking, of course, examining my own life, my addiction to productivity, efficiency, and comfort are most always at the center of my frustration, my confusion, my anxiety, and my disobedience. Productivity. Addiction to productivity. My desire, the push to get ahead, to make more, get more, achieve more, have more than before. That drive to gain status through performance and abundance. My addiction to productivity. My addiction to efficiency. Just that thing of having everything go as planned. Got everything figured out. I have the systems in place. The formulas are working. Smooth sailing. My addiction to efficiency. My addiction to comfort. I deserve a good life, ease, convenience, least pain as possible. So my addiction to productivity, efficiency, and comfort are at the center of my frustration, confusion, anxiety, and disobedience. So really, another way of saying it, the root of the issue, down at the center of the issue, stands myself. My struggle is myself. So without my loves being remade and reordered by Jesus Christ, I will always chase endlessly after those things that were never meant to satisfy. It seems as we read the story of Lot, that was Lot all the way. Today, brothers and sisters, friends, today I call you out of Sodom. I call you to come out from among them. I call you to come out of your passivity, out of your sleepiness. I call you to come out of your extravagant doing. And I call you to a field wherein lies a treasure. The treasure. I call you to let nothing get between you and the treasure, Jesus Christ. Today, I call you to bring your shame, your anxiety, your fear, your uncleanness, your half-heartedness, your passive, lukewarm heart to the cross. I call you to bring it to the cross. I also call you to obedience in laying down your life, taking up your cross, and following Jesus Christ. We live in a busy, sin-crazed world. It's a little bit like where Lot lived. And in the middle of the busyness, the craziness, whatever it is, those pressures that come in upon us, I call you in the middle of this, I call you to the secret place. And I call you to examine your life behind the closed door. And what I mean by that is your personal life, who you really are. Misha already alluded to that. Your personal worship. Who are you behind closed doors? Who are you? Who am I? You can only put on a show so long by yourself, behind the closed door. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Behind the closed door. You know, I can go to a lot of church services. I can go to Bible studies, prayer meetings, seminars, and on. But who am I behind the closed door? Behind the closed door, you are alone with your problems, your fears, your idols, your stuff. And you can stay alone with your fears, your anxieties, your idols, your stuff. Many people, when they get behind the closed door, they reside there alone and they get weighed down with their anxiety, their fears, their idols, their stuff. Or, when you get behind the closed door, and not just behind the closed door, but today I want to talk about this secret place where you can get behind the closed door and get alone with your Father. This is your choice. You can either be alone with your fear, your anxiety, your idols, or you can be alone with your Father. It's your choice. So who or what is your heart leaning towards? And I know just about everyone here would say, I love God, and I'm in love with God. The clearest evidence that I possess something is that I am possessed by it. The clearest evidence that we, that you, that I are possessed, that the clearest evidence that we possess something is that we are possessed by it. So the half-hearted, the double-minded, the casual will simply not make it. Shut in with God. Going in and shutting the door, like Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6. Shutting the door to the noise, the clamor, the other voices. Shutting the door and getting still in the presence of Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, I call you today to the feet of Jesus. I call you to embrace the Lamb of God, where thanksgiving overtakes discontentment, where anxiety gives place to rest, where fear is overcome with love, where shame is exchanged for sonship, where confusion is brought to order, where self is replaced with divine gold, where extravagant worship is restored, where suffering purifies, where surrender conceives power and spiritual authority, where dying gives birth to living intimacy. And yet some still linger. The problems, the torment, the struggle, life in Sodom feels so normal. It feels like home. It feels like home. The price for freedom and power and really loving God just seemed too high. Almost a bit extreme. You see, it's not really the in thing. It's not really the cool thing. You know, when Mary came in and poured out her love to the Lord in the form of expensive perfume, she did not receive crowd admiration. It was extreme. But that did not stop her. She was in love with her treasure. So today, as we looked at our story, you and I can live like Lot with a tormented soul, life in a mess. Or we can worship Him in secret. Love Him with all of our hearts, with all of our lives, even behind the closed door. And Jesus said, when you seek your Father in secret, He will reward you openly. So the choice is mine today. The choice is yours. We can live with torment. We can live in a mess. Or we can live in secret with our Father, and He will reward us openly. He will bless us openly. He will pour out His grace, His favor upon us openly. We will have freedom and we will have power and we will make His name look good. On judgment day, there are only two verdicts. For those He knows, eternal fellowship. For those He does not know, everlasting fire. Today, you choose. Today, you choose. Holy Father. Would you speak deeply to those of us who are lingering? Thank you, God, for your incredible mercy. Lord, in these last days, as evil is raging across the land, the world, I believe, God, you will continue to purify your people. You will melt out the dross and you will replace it with divine gold. And so right here in this congregation, God, as we gather here today, Lord, I ask you to speak deeply to the places in our lives where self is still running the show. Those areas in our hearts, oh God, where we are lingering, we're not quite ready to leave. We're not quite ready to run. Would you help us, oh God, by your Holy Spirit to examine ourselves, Lord? Who are we behind closed doors? Who are we when nobody sees? Lord, I thank you for the beautiful opportunity and blessing of fellowship with you, of getting alone with God. And I pray, Lord, oh Lord, it's the cry of my heart that every one of my brothers and sisters here, Lord, would truly know what it is to get alone from you and hear from you and get revelation from you, Lord, and love you. Lord, may extravagant worship burst forth from our hearts in these days. May your kingdom come in our lives, Lord, and your will be done here, even as your will is done in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
The Lord in His mercy is stretching forth His hands today, inviting us to come to the cross and to find forgiveness, to find deliverance. He's inviting us to come out of Sodom. And he says, when you do that, I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Lord is inviting us today. While we sing, I Surrender All, if there's something that you need to surrender to God and come out of Sodom, you know, God gives grace to the humble. Let us humble ourselves before Him today and find mercy and grace. You don't have to leave here in defeat and in fear and anxiety and confusion. So I invite you to come to Jesus. I invite you to step out of your seat and humble yourself and come and kneel before the Lord at the altar. The altar is open. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Live. I surrender all. Today your sins can go beforehand to judgment. Praise God. God forgives sin that is confessed, but sin that is covered and excused and denied will judge in the day of judgment. Come to the judgment early. And let it be said of you, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Praise God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come right now.
And make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, amen. Hallelujah for the blood. Without Jesus' blood, I would be lost, hopelessly lost. My heart's desire and prayer to God for each one of you today is that you would be saved. To know what it is to be saved. To be saved is scriptural. Hallelujah. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me, and in holy soul haste to the brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Why not today? Why not come to Jesus today? Why not be saved today? Today is the day of salvation. When you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Your heart is pounding. You know you're guilty. You know you're lost. Jesus is extending His arm out to you today. His hand. He's stretching forth His hand like we read there in Romans 10. Don't turn Him away. Aaron, why don't you just close this invitation? You know, I've felt that myself already. I was guilty. Why don't He just stop once? Oh, I give you the opportunity. Today's the day of salvation. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Today, if God is speaking to your heart, harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation. And they died in the wilderness. Don't die in the wilderness of sin. Come to Jesus.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for speaking to us today. And Father, we just commit this Word of the Lord, O God. You said Your Word will not return void, but it will prosper. So Lord, we trust You for that. And we thank You for speaking to us today. Out of Your merciful Father heart. Thank You. Thank You. Bless these honest, humble souls who have humbled themselves and come to You. Oh God, bless them with a full revelation of Jesus Christ and His power to save and to deliver. Oh God, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. You are Lord. We confess with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. We do it gladly, willingly. Someday everyone under the sound of my voice will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank You, Lord. We love You in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. I would invite those that have responded to make their way to the basement and just invite a couple of brothers or sisters to go counsel with those who have responded. Thank you, Laura. Any of you other men that have responded, make your way to the basement. And one of the ways to overcoming sin is to confess, make confession, to be honest. And then pray one for another and find that healing. Thank you, Tim. Maybe there's someone has something they'd like to share here this morning. A word of testimony to the message. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. All right, I don't see any hands raised. And I encourage you You know you should have responded, but you didn't. Don't harden your heart. Please don't harden your heart. Get alone with God. Confess to another person. Amen. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.